still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and she saw that the stone was moved away. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, breathlessly panting. They took the master from the tomb, and we do not know where they had put it. Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. And stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived and entered the tomb and observed the linen cloths laying there, and the kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. Then the disciple who had gotten there first went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed. No one yet knew from the scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead, and the disciples went back home. But Mary, outside the tomb, was weeping. And as she wept, she knelt into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head and the other at the foot, where Jesus' body had been laid. And they said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They have taken my master," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." And after she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" And Mary, thinking he was the gardener, said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you've put him so I can care for him." And Jesus said, "Mary." And turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Creator. Go to my brothers and tell them, I will ascend to my Creator and your Creator, my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples, "I have seen the Master." And she told him everything that he had said to her. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words that I speak this morning would not be mine, but they would be yours. Asking that those who hear and receive these words would receive them not only in their minds and in their hearts, but deep in their souls, O God, that place where only you and they go. Be our witness this morning, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I've been in ministry for 30 years. I'm 60 years old, so we've heard 60 Easter sermons. Amen?
Amen.
And most of you, if you've been in church for any length of time, you've heard all the Easter sermons there are to hear. I talked to a bunch of... Huh?
You mean you're changing it up this year?
Behave. I talked to all kinds of pastors. Oh, by the way, for our guests, this is a Chatty Cathy crowd, so don't get upset if they...
Well, you know,
yeah. Amen. There you go. But anyway, and talking to the pastors this week, the pastors all around town, they started working on their sermons last week. You know, every time I talked to James this week, you know, he was making notes for that sermon this morning. And it was like, as I talked to him, it was like, oh my gosh, Easter is the sermon of the year. Now, you know, I want to know why. Because it strikes me, we already knew the end to this story, amen? I mean, we already know Jesus is alive. And we read this story, and we get all emotional about it, and we get, you know, Good Friday. I tell people that if I ever become a seminary professor, the 6 weeks of Lent, I'm going to rename it Hell Week. Because everything happens during those 6 weeks of Lent. And everything is just, you know, it's just ratcheted up. Everybody's illness is worse. Every job loss is worse. The economy is worse. Everything is worse because the church has said, okay, we're going to use the 6 weeks of Lent to look deep inside of ourselves. And then we're going to make it all better on Sunday morning. I don't know about you, but that seems, I don't know, hypocritical. It seems like we're trying to cram too much into 6 weeks. When in fact, we probably ought to be doing this all the time. And the one thing that we should be doing all the time is living as if Jesus is in fact alive. So I didn't put a lot of time into writing a sermon this week. I came up with a title. And that is my theology this morning. Why I believe. Because you see, I heard a song on Palm Sunday that they sang over at First Christian Church. And one of the lines in that song goes, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Do we need to say anything else? We love the way we love because Jesus Christ is alive. Now, I know that there are plenty of people out there, and myself included, that sit there and go, yeah, okay. You know, we don't really have any evidence. We just have what it says in the scripture, and we've got stuff that sometimes can be kind of bogus. But if you start to put all the pieces together, that's why I believe. You got Micah 6:8 that says, you know what God requires, that you do justice, that you act mercifully, that you walk humbly with God. And then when you skip ahead and you look at the ministry that Jesus proclaimed and what he did, he wasn't worried about the people that had everything. He was worried about the people that were being kept out. He took the religion of the day and the economy of the day and turned it upside down. And he said there was nothing more important than your relationship with God. He also said that even death cannot separate you from God. Now I want you to catch that. Because ultimately when we think about it, in today's world, if we look at what Jesus did with his ministry, don't we sit back and say, well, of course they killed him. Amen? Of course they killed him. He went up against the powers of total control in the day. He did the ultimate thing. He slammed his own synagogue for all the money that they were making. He hung around prostitutes. He hung around people that were of, how shall I say this, unsavory reputations. Of course they killed him. And of course, because he walked the talk, death didn't have a hold on him. Now, I don't know whether you folks believe in physical resurrections or not, but I will tell you this. The reason I believe is because... Actually, to be...
Go. Just straightening. I'm listening. Go.
The sexton has wandered into the
main. I was going to say.
You were saying something about why...
Yeah, somebody help me here. I completely lost it.
Why do you believe again?
Oh, why I believe.
The physical.
That's the first for the me. Physical resurrection.
There was a Star Trek show years ago with Shatner and that whole crew. You all might be too young to remember this. Star Trek. And in that particular episode, there were a couple of aliens in there that had telepathic minds. They could control the ship and all that kind of stuff. And for your information, Gene Roddenberry, the writer of that show, was a very devout Christian. And so if you go back and you listen to those shows, there's a lot of Christianity that has slid its way into the scripts. Well, at the end of that show, you know, they went through all their stuff, and of course it was typical, the two aliens, the one looked like a Roman male god, and the other one looked like a Roman male or female god, and Shatner wanted to get her, you know.
Shocker.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was just the way that script was. But as it turns out, the aliens were these little, teeny, tiny, scrawny, ugly-looking little bluebirds. And at the very end of the show, Shatner, you know how they used to have him talk? He's down there looking at these aliens. Why didn't you tell us who you really were? And in the way they do it in TV, they came back up into human form, and the male character took a step towards Shatner, and he said, "We appeared to you humans as you would understand us." That's why I believe the resurrection. Because God had to give us something that would prove to us beyond a shadow of a doubt that when we breathe our last here, that there is something beyond that that gives us a reason to love. You know, people all the time, I tell them all the time that what it was the first words for Jesus from the cross, forgive them. If there is no forgiveness, there is no resurrection. Amen. If there is no forgiveness, there is no life. Jesus understood that, and that's the trigger for us. When you want to know what your purpose in life is, it's to bring in people, not push them away. Bring them in, and if necessary, forgive them. St. Francis said, go into the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. So why do I believe? I believe because of my partner of 33 years. I believe because this woman sits among us today and she shouldn't be here. This man who was away and came back. And the stories that go on and on and on. Folks, people do not live or die for a lie. So why do I believe? Because they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Amen.